coming in, Doctor.
Why, well, come on in, Tuca. What are you waiting for?
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Why, Mr. Kendall, I... Really, would you mind pointing that gun elsewhere? Please. I only came to the doctor's cabin to talk. You do believe that, don't you?
Believe it. Either Edwin Tuker took me for a fool, or else he'd been so startled to find me with a doctor in his cabin that he hadn't had time to think up a better story. He stood now with his back against the door, his pasty features even paler than usual, and his bulbous eyes glued to the revolver I was holding. We all knew Tuker had served a sentence for poisoning his first wife, and watching him now, it was easy to see him in the role of killer. It was after midnight on our ninth day en route for Papeete and then Jamaica, and I'd been with Dr. Lawler in his cabin, checking his story that someone had knocked at the cabin door a few minutes before and then gone away. And now Tuker had knocked, and when the doctor hadn't answered, he'd turned the knob and gently opened the door. At that moment, Edwin Tuker had a lot of explaining to do.
Please, Mr. Kendall, I wasn't doing anything wrong.
You feel it's quite normal, Mr. Tuker, to enter someone else's cabin at this hour of night without being invited?
Oh, that. Well, you see,
Well, go on, Tuker. We see what?
Well, I was just going to talk with Dr. Lawler earlier, and I don't know why, but I've been quite unable to shake off a certain feeling that he was in danger.
Yeah, I had that feeling myself, just now.
You don't mean me. Really, Mr. Kendall, that's quite ridiculous.
Is it?
Oh, Dr. Lawler, you must bear me out. I came in to see you because I thought you were in need of assistance. They were my very words now, weren't they?
The first time, yes.
Did you think the doctor needed help when you knocked at the door just a few minutes ago and then scurried for cover when he opened it?
What? Oh, really, Mr. Kendall, what are you talking about?
You have no idea, naturally.
Oh, none at all. You implying that I've made 3 attempts to see the doctor tonight?
You've got it in a nutshell.
Right, I did. Then, you see, when I heard the doctor coming to the door, I remembered, of course, that he'd been just a little short with me, and so I ran back to my own cabin. And then after a few moments, I thought how very stupidly I was acting, and so I came back again. Give you my word, that's the honest truth. When there was no answer, I thought perhaps my worst fears had been realized. So I just forced myself to investigate.
Just as you forced yourself to jump overboard to throw suspicion on everyone aboard but you, right?
Right, Mr. Kendall.
There never was any question that you were pushed over, was there?
Never.
You'd risk being drowned?
Well, with a past like mine, Doctor, risk many things. I thought that by taking drastic steps, I should be regarded as innocent. Should anything occur
Such as the death of Ben Miller.
Yes, yes, exactly.
You never did explain where you were when he was killed, did you?
I was in my cabin.
You can't prove that, of course.
Neither can you disprove it, Mr. Kendall.
Yes, you've got a point there. All right, Tuker. Go on back to your cabin.
Well, I assure you, I was only acting in the very best interest of all of us, Dr. Lawler.
Good night, Tuker.
Good night.
You think he's telling the truth?
Oddly enough, yes. I thought there was something fishy about that going overboard business ever since it happened.
But I mean about tonight.
Yes? Don't you?
Well, I think I'll lock the door to my cabin just in case.
It's a good idea. Oh, and Doctor, I'd rather you didn't tell anyone else about this, all right?
You mean about him going overboard?
Well, that and the rest of it. Okay?
Yes, yes, of course. Good night, Kendall.
I'll wait outside until I hear it locked.
Good morning, Major Challenger.
Hmm.
Or is it? Yeah, I'm fond of walking in the rain myself.
Mr. Drake, if you haven't learned yet, we have nothing to talk about.
Then perhaps it's as well for me to take this opportunity of making that quite clear.
You know, I've had nearly 10 days to get the general idea. But I think if you take a turn around the deck with me, you'll find you're quite wrong.
I doubt it. Try.
You don't much care for Americans. America, do you?
Correct. I do not.
And you've lumped all that dislike into a hearty and forceful loathing for me.
One of the things I dislike about your people, Mr. Blake, is their inability to take a hint.
Or we can be as thick-skinned as the average Englishman when we have to.
Your impertinence is another trait of which I disapprove.
Well, now that we've got that straight, let's try and...
Mr. Blake, I look forward to my morning stroll on the deck. I take it in all weathers. I do not enjoy taking it in company,
particularly mine.
Since you must apparently be beaten over the head to make anything penetrate, that is right, Mr. Blake. Just what is it you wish to talk to me about?
The story you told Dirk about hearing two people race past your cabin on the morning Miller was killed. You don't think that's a little thin?
I do not.
And standing by and watching and being attacked on deck? Dirk, I'm talking about now. How do you justify behavior like that, Major?
To you?
It's me who's asking, Major Challenger. You're entitled to think what you like about me. But I'm interested in talking with someone who'd stand by and watch a man kill to make sure that he inherited his share of a million.
I have only this to say to you, Blake. If the day ever comes when you have the authority to challenge my behavior, I may answer your questions. Until then, I suggest that you keep out of my way. Good morning.
If I were you, Major Challoner, I'd keep that little whistle of yours pretty close to you. Keep on being so nice to everyone, you might get to blow it real soon.
Photographic record of the test series.
Talking to yourself, Doctor.
Eh? Miss Fedorov.
Mind if I join you?
Not at all. You know, old magazines and the rain seem to go together. The only thing we need in this lounge now is a dental chair.
Oh, as bored as that?
Oh, I'm sorry. No need to take my boredom out on you. Cigarette?
Thank you, Doctor.
Yes, you know, I was very proud of you, wailing into the Major like that.
Oh, really?
He does treat Sharon abominably.
She does rather ask for it. Oh. Well, doesn't she?
Oh, if you think I'm going to be drawn into a discussion on the relative merits of the two charming ladies we have on board, you're wrong. Anyway, why are you bothering with an old fogey like me? I had the impression that, what's his name? Lee Blake was monopolizing most of your time.
Has it been as obvious as that?
Well, on a ship of this size, there's nothing much else to do but observe the activities of one's fellow passengers.
And you do not approve?
Approve? Oh, my dear girl. I gave up approving, or for that matter, disapproving of my fellow human beings quite a long time ago.
Oh, why do you make yourself out to be so ancient, Dr. Lawler?
Oh, do I?
Yes, I think so. I think, too, that if you cared to try, you could be very charming.
Oh, really?
But you always talk to a woman as if... Well, as if your nurse was in the room.
Well, that's the way I usually meet women.
I have not come to you for treatment.
As a matter of fact, I'm beginning to wonder just why you've come to me.
Well, we are traveling together to Jamaica.
And is Lee tied up at the moment?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Oh, my dear young lady, when you say it like that, I know you know exactly what he's doing and where he is.
You see, there you go again. My dear young woman, my dear girl. Talking as if you were old as Methuselah or as old as Mr. Wherryman.
Well, he did rather qualify for the title of Methuselah, didn't he? He was well over 80 when he died last year. He was a pretty well-preserved old fellow when I met him first in 1937. 60 then. Yes, recovered after his operation a darn sight better than a lot of younger men I've seen.
Doctor, let us talk about you. And to convince you that this conversation is not taking place in your surgery, I'm going to call you Martin. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
You have never married, have you?
No.
You can tell me to mind my own business.
Oh, well, if I did that, I should have to go back to the pictures of the test series. My countrymen lost them. And wanting England to win the cricket test is about the only English tray I have left.
What will you do with your share of the money?
Oh, I don't know. Buy a new microscope to start with, I think.
Oh, very dull. Martin,
Oh, sorry, I didn't know there was anyone in.
Blake, come on in. We were just talking.
I was looking for a loaner.
Well, you have found me, and now you can go. Can't you see that I'm very busy? Well, run along, Lee, and shut the door after you. There is a draft.
I'd been so concerned with trying to locate a killer aboard ship that the activities of the passengers as they filled in time had missed my notice. But on that 10th day at sea, although I wasn't aware of it then, there was born between the doctor and Ilona Fedorov a bond that was to grow on this passage of the Tangmar.